Last week was an incredibly blessed time for us as a church. We had decided that we would do a service that could be a youth service, and I've done youth service before, and I insisted that it wouldn't just be a token one person in a worship team with the age, you know, younger than 50. That wasn't going to cut it for me. I said that indeed we needed it to be everything or nothing. So you would have been greeted last week at the door by some young people. There were even, I think it was Philip and Enzo who just kind of jumped in, little kids doing the hug people. They just joined in because of the, I don't know, excitement. But then, so you were greeted by those folk. The worship was selected and practiced and performed by everybody who was in the youth band, as it were. Joe helped out because they don't have a guitarist, but we're working on that. And then the offering was taken up by those same people that were working at the door, and it didn't end there because then with our treasurer, after the service, they counted the money. If you're going to serve, you serve. Everything back there was done by young people, live stream, AV and sound, and then afterwards you would have been served with coffee by young people. The sermon was incredibly well thought out, presented, and delivered. You remember the map, flight control, and co-pilot. Young people are incredibly important to me. I started my ministry as a youth ministry person before I became a real minister. Youth ministry is often not seen as something important in the church. But I started in Kempton Park many, many years ago, and I started working with young people. I was with Youth for Christ as a leader of a youth harvest team in the 80s. We traveled around for a year and ministered in schools. Then I worked in a church in Kempton Park for 7 years, and while I was working in that church with young people, I also worked part-time with Scripture Union in the local schools. After that, I was in Polokwane for 4 years, where I worked in a youth center with young people in a very, very interesting, lovely, great church. And then when we started here, I was working with young people. I even married a young person, but I was much younger as well. So I've run many, many holiday clubs, and I've lost count now, but I think this might be close to my 30th holiday club that I'm going to run this year. I run one once a year. I'm part of the confirmation program. Thank you. That wasn't for applause, but okay. I'm feeling better now because Chris got applause after his sermon last week. So thanks, Chris. Setting the tone, my boy. I'm part of the confirmation course at the moment, and I have a young person, a very incredible young person, that is my mentee. When Lana and I had children, I wanted to make sure that they didn't fall into the pattern of many young people in churches in our world. The pattern that we've seen so many times is a child will come in the back door and be sent to a room outside of the church. And when they get to a certain age, they're no longer in Sunday school, now they're in Bible class. And eventually when they hit the end of their teens, they're transitioning out of school, out of the home, we say to them, here's your church. And they say, we were never part of this church. And so we intentionally don't have our teenagers out. Now, we have them in. And we intentionally try and get our young people to serve. The preacher from last week is doing the sound this morning. I'm on sound next week. Oh, well, I like that idea. You don't know what you're letting yourselves in. I see nobody saying, you're on worship next week, Brian. You do know my limitations. But we're intentional about letting our young people get to a place where they go, this is my church. I don't ever want a young person to say, it's my parents' church, or it's that church. I want them to say, this is my church. This is my church. And I want this for every single young person that walks through the door. I want it for the older people as well. Really, I do. But it's incredibly important that we say that young people are important, because a long time, church hasn't been accessible to young people. Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Acts 2, verse 14 through 21. This is just after Pentecost. I know I'm a little bit out of sync here, Pentecost still on its way, but the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the disciples. They're in a home, they're waiting. Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. They're waiting, and this is the moment they've been waiting for. The Holy Spirit is poured out, and this is what happens just after that. Acts 2, 14 through 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God works in the lives of all people. Everyone. In that scripture, everyone. I hope you picked up. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. This is the beginning of the church. This is the first sermon, potentially, of the new church. In Acts 2. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Last Sunday was quite a disruptive service. I think for many people it disrupted our expectations of young people. The young people didn't just participate, but they led. They owned it. Did I get that right? They owned it. I even did the hand. They welcomed, they worshipped, they preached, they served. And the question we have to ask on the heels of last Sunday is, what is your excuse? As Peter quotes in Acts 2 verse 17, God removes every excuse that we may have. I'm too young. God says, your sons and daughters. I'm too old. God says, your old men. I'm not spiritual enough. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. God's spirit is not selective, but our obedience to God's spirit can sometimes be that way. We need to stand as a church and say, we are not entertaining individuals. We are investing in the future. As a church, together, all of us, we're investing in the future. And not just of our church, of other churches, of people who may go on to be politicians, leaders, respected leaders in our country. We are investing in the future. We are investing in our young people. We are shaping the church of tomorrow. Peter's quoting the prophet Joel, and Joel is speaking about the future people. And it's a prophecy from God. This is God's word of what's going to happen. The young people are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. They're the church of now. Because again, now, we have young people up here. We've got young people back there. We've got young people serving in our children's ministry. They are the church of now. Every time you encourage a young person, or you listen to them, or you disciple them, or you make space for them, you're planting a seed in a tree that you may never sit under the shade of, but you're planting seeds. The question for this morning, what is your excuse? What is your excuse for not investing? I'm too busy. I don't relate to young people. Someone else will do it. We pay Shoba to work with the young people. This, what we saw last week, what we see in our church, is God's Holy Spirit being poured out on people. And when that happens, when he pours out his spirit, everyone gets wet. It happened last week. They sang the first song, we clapped. We were getting wet. Sang the second song, we clapped. We heard the sermon, we clapped. We nearly clapped for the young lady doing the offering. We just didn't know if that was kind of pushing it a bit. As we see young people stepping up, we must remember that their experience, their spiritual experience, might not look like our spiritual experience, but it's still a very valid experience. It's still a very real experience. They may experience God differently, but the same Spirit is at work in their lives. We must stop looking at a conversion moment and measuring it by our conversion moment. A person at a different age might have a very different conversion experience. People at the same age will have different conversion experiences. Peter said, young men will see visions. There's something fresh, imaginative, faith-filled about young people. I always say, if you have a church that's only made up of older people, you miss the enthusiasm and energy of younger people. And when you have a church just full of younger people, you miss the wisdom, the experience, the life experience of older people. We are incredibly blessed. I hope you know it. We are incredibly blessed with where we sit right now. Sometimes older generations can be tempted to think it's just emotional, just a phase. But Scripture doesn't diminish it. Scripture validates it. The same Spirit who filled the apostles, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is the Holy Spirit who's working in and through all of us and our young people. So if it looks different, let's not say it's not valid. Just a quick side note. Let me take a quick side note. Might be more than one. Feeling like I'm moving a little bit sideways. I remember somebody saying to me, young people shouldn't take communion because they don't understand it. Can I say something? Most people who take communion don't understand it. And then when you nearly get knocked over by a little person running in the church, you can have two responses, moan and complain, or understand that that little person's most probably running as much at home. So pray for those parents. Come on. A different expression doesn't mean a lesser encounter. In fact, sometimes it exposes our own spiritual growth areas. Sometimes we look at this and we go, actually, there's a deficiency here. When I was with Youth for Christ, I remember having a conversation with a young person who was on a different team. And he was now serving as a missionary on a team. But when he was growing up, he was a teenager and wanted to go to church. And his parents, for some reason, forbid that. But he would sneak out to go to church on a Sunday morning. And I don't know the right and wrong ins and outs, honor your father and mother. But that was how committed he was to get to church. In actual fact, just leading up to last week, there was a WhatsApp chat that I was a part of with all of these young people. It was a very active chat, you know. Some of us would battle to keep up, I think. But there was one young person who said, hey, what am I going to do on Sunday? I don't have a role to play. Is that a question that you ever ask? What am I going to do? I don't have a role to play. But there was this young person asking that question, and she did get a role to play. It's also important to remember that discipleship is messy. Spiritual growth doesn't look like this. Boom, roses. Spiritual growth can often be two steps forward, one step backwards. For young people, but for adults as well. Discipleship is never, never 100% in one direction. There's always things that bump us, that knock us, potholes, spiritual moments where we're weak. It's more a wavy line. So, what is your excuse? What is your excuse for diminishing what God is doing? Maybe it's because it's not how we used to do it. Or maybe it's because I just don't understand. You don't have to fully understand things to know that they are of God. For some time, I felt that I wished I'd become a Christian sooner in life. So I became a Christian later in life, and I wished that I had started the journey earlier. Why? Sin promises so much but delivers so little. Jesus asks for everything and gives way more. And I could have been further along in my spiritual journey had I just made that commitment earlier. So when young people respond earlier, that's a huge blessing. Those are foundations that they can build the rest of their life on. What is your excuse? What is your excuse for the delay, young people? Any young people sitting in the, yep, there's some young people around. What is your excuse? I'll commit more later. I'll commit fully when I've had my fun in life. I'll commit when I'm finished with school. I'll commit when I'm older. I'll commit when I'm less busy. Peter in Acts is saying, now is the time. These are the last days. I don't know if you remember this song that we sang. I don't know when. I'm not really good with time and whatever. But the song is Hosanna by Hillsong United. And there's those words, I see a generation rising up to take their place. And at different times in my spiritual walk and singing that song, I battled sometimes to sing that line because I honestly didn't see it. And I don't like singing stuff that I'm like in dissonance with. But when I sang it this week and I thought about the words, I realized that's what we do see. We definitely do see a generation standing up to take their place. And these are not just some fancy song lyrics. This is an actual fact what we see in Acts 2 taking place. But a generation rising up in isolation is no good. A generation rising up needs to have somebody to pray for it. A generation rising up has to have somebody making space for them. Has to have people believing in them. And sometimes because someone older stepped up and said, God, use them. So we come back to the question, what is your excuse? Because the Spirit has been poured out, the young are stepping up, the invitation is open. The only thing left is for us to respond. How do we respond to this moment? So to the older generation here and people listening online, will you dream again and make space for others to rise up? And I'm not saying we're putting you out to pasture. If you're not dead, God's not done. But how are you encouraging that next generation? How are you praying for that next generation? How are you investing in that next generation? For those in the middle generation, now, there's some people that are going to go, that's me. I can be honest, okay. Will you invest intentionally and disciple faithfully? You know what I'd love to see? Next time that Ross says, I need people to mentor teenagers, I'd love that he could say, we've got too many adults. Are you hearing my heart? Have we had that yet? No. Folks, what are we doing with this generation? And for the young people, will you take your place? Not someday, but now. And as I look at you, you guys are already fully involved, aren't you? Shake your head as well. But are we taking our place? And is God calling you to a different place? Is God calling you to do something more? Or something in a different ministry? Imagine a church where the old are dreaming, the young are seeing visions, the Spirit is moving, and no one is making excuses. That's not a dream. That's what we see in the book of Acts. And so the last two questions, are we those people? And are we that church?